This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Every time he makes his biggest, hugest promises,
believe me, it's going to be great, believe me. We're going to build a wall and make Mexico pay for it, believe me. We're going to destroy ISIS so fast, believe me. There's nothing suspicious in my tax returns, believe me.
Once again, welcome to America Tonight. It's all about the Democrats anyway. This time it's their turn in Philadelphia. The biggest thing coming out of Philly is the fact that Tim Kaine, the VP, addressed the people that were assembled in Philly at the DNC to talk about or praise Hillary Clinton, I guess is the way to perhaps put that. I think even bigger than, in my opinion, than Kaine coming out and trying to rally the Democrats, all factions of the party, whether they're liberal or moderate, is Joe Biden saying that, because he was also on the stage, saying that Donald Trump has no clue, period. He delivered a speech to the DNC where he even touched on the loss of, sadly, of his son, Beau Biden, but he told the crowd at Wells Fargo Arena that Trump had no clue about what makes America great. Actually, he has no clue, period. And the crowd started screaming out, not a clue, not a clue. And he also referred to Trump's signature line from The Apprentice. He said his lack of empathy can be summed up in a phrase he made famous, you're fired. He called Trump a man who confused bluster with strength. And then he talked about, as I mentioned, his son Beau Biden, who died last year of brain cancer, and how he had placed his name into nomination for VP at the 2008 Democratic Convention, if you remember that. But he used it as a platform to talk about cancer a bit. He said, we think about the countless thousands of others who have suffered so much more than we have with so much less support. And, you know, he said, we endure, we overcome, we always move forward. So Biden, who decided it is against a run for president, says his timing wasn't right as his family coped with the loss of Beau. And he, again, took the slap at Trump, mentioned his son, was embraced by the crowd. Not surprisingly, Joe Biden is somebody who has been around in the Democratic Party and has been there throughout the Obama administration, obviously, as the vice president. So another strong endorsement for Hillary, more of what's coming out of Philadelphia. But frankly, just like the Republicans, it's more about a pep rally than anything else when you look at what happens at these conventions, frankly. I mean, that's really what they're set up for, kind of to give back to, I think, to give back to the delegates, come up with a nominee, get a few of the big party bigwigs to speak, and then move on. It is, I'll say it again, I've emphasized it, I said it in the first hour, it's about those debates. The debates are going to be fascinating, and it's a question of how Hillary comes out, how Trump comes out, and then split the difference, and who are the independents going to go rally to? What side are they going to choose? Because really, it's like sports teams anymore when you talk about Democrats and the Republicans. So it all moves on at the DNC, and the biggest deal now really is probably in the wrap for Hillary to address the crowd as the nominee for the party, because she's obviously the official nominee. A couple of other interesting, I think, sidebars to the DNC, and because it's the Democrats' turn, is WikiLeaks released the hacked Democratic National Committee audio files. Too bad for Debbie Wasserman Schultz. She was pressured so much, and we know that Bernie Sanders wanted her gone, gone, gone. That became a reality. But the latest release, which happened in the middle of this convention, has had some interesting repercussions. It's the second batch in a series that has rattled the party and prompted Schultz to step down. There was no way she was surviving that. And of course there was, like I said, calls from Bernie Sanders to say goodbye to the top brass at the DNC based on some stupid pathetic things they had done as far as having debates and when they had them between Clinton and Sanders and a slew of other ridiculous problems that are chasing them around. But the recordings were pulled from the emails of the DNC, and they were obtained because they were hacked. The servers were hacked. So, what do they call them? Hacktivists? The hacktivists are active, and I think these politicians just don't get the power of a giant hack where they're able to get into your emails and whatever phony baloney nonsense is happening outside of the norm. I'll call it the norm in Washington. That becomes fodder for the media, and it's a feeding frenzy. Frankly, I mean, truly a feeding frenzy, if you will. Well, we swing in a different direction at the top of this, and look at something else. I talked about Joe Biden. I talked about Hillary Clinton getting ready to address the crowd. I talked about the fact that this is really more of a pep rally and a give back to those that have helped in the process. And you always have to have a lot of those people from the volunteers on up. The most intriguing story that has really tripped my radar is, should, and this is the question, should John Hinckley be released? Or should he be kept in the institution where he's been since he tried to assassinate President Ronald Reagan? The son of President Reagan was quoted today as saying that his father would have supported a judge's decision to release his would-be assassin because he forgave the shooter a long time ago. So he would have done that. In fact, here's a quote from him. He said, "My father not only could say the Lord's Prayer, but lived in the Lord's Prayer because of his forgiveness of John Hinckley. He wanted to see and visit John Hinckley and to tell him himself, his doctors wouldn't allow him to do it," meaning his son, Ronnie Reagan, let him know that that's the way he would have thought. And just to jog your memory again, Reagan, of course, was shot during the March 30th, 1981 assassination attempt in D.C., underwent immediate surgery. Three others were shot, including a Secret Service agent who stood between the president and Hinckley's bullet, a D.C. police officer, Reagan's press secretary, James Brady. So you get the drift of what that was like, and you still see that footage, and you just, boy, he was so, so close to getting the president. Oh, so close, scarily so, that they use that old footage for training because of seeing how close he got and how he was fearless in his attempt. But in the beginning of August, once again, he's up for parole, and there is a feeling that he, among a lot of legal folks, that he may be able to be released from the facility where he's been kept all that time. All right, stay with us. More happening in just a moment here on America Tonight.
Say you're assassinated.
There's a man named Dr. Joel Wallach who is anything but your typical doctor, both a veterinarian and naturopathic physician. Doc asks, why does the United States spend more money on healthcare by far and still rank 50th in health and longevity worldwide? He believes that people should empower themselves with a basic understanding of nutrition, take charge of their health, and attain optimal health and longevity through nutrition, not by toxic prescription drugs that lead to side effects and more toxic prescription drugs. drugs. Doc Wallach's message is resonating with an increasing number of Americans who are waking up to all the big government, big pharma, and big insurance manipulation of our healthcare system. I'm George Norrie, and I like what Doc Wallach is saying and doing to enlighten people about healthcare. Visit brightsidebend.com and listen to Doc Wallach's Deadly Recipes lecture. It makes a lot of sense, and I urge you to join the Brightside Bend team. Go to brightsidebend.com. That's brightsidebend.com.
Attention backpackers, on a budget, why spend $80 to $300 to pump clean survival water? Introducing the Viva Water Pump Kit from Viva Outdoor Products. Super easy to use and super lightweight at only 6.5 ounces, the Viva Water Pump Kit provides high flow rate at 1 ounce per stroke, can be one hand pumped, and is dependable and affordable at only $24.99, filter not included. Get your Viva Water Pump Kit at viba-odp.com from Viva Outdoor Products.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Interesting story. He's got a book that tells you all about this story, because I'm telling you, you will read it from cover to cover. It's called The Long Run, and it talks about everything that he went through. When I say everything he went through, first of all, to run the New York City Marathon, I think is incredible. I do. But to run the New York City Marathon after what happened to him, as his life changed, boom, in an instant. We all talk about what happens when everything's going along fine, and then something changes dramatically in your life. And Matt was cycling to work in the early morning, and this was in December, before Christmas in 2005, when he was struck and run over by a 20-ton bus making an illegal turn. Matt, thanks so much for coming on the show. And as I say that and you think about those moments, it had to be just unbelievable to you, right? Life is sailing along, and then all of a sudden you're fighting for your life, correct?
Yes, Kate. Well, first of all, thanks for having me on the show. And, yeah, life for me was sailing along. I couldn't have scripted it any better. I was in the best shape of my life and having success in endurance sports. And it's just in an instant, things changed.
So what happened? You had to have some, like, 40 operations, is that right?
In about 16-month period of time, I went through 43 different surgeries, correct.
Wow. And today, you're healthy, right? You feel good? You ran a marathon? What was it? You ran a marathon in 2008?
Yeah, so post-accident, I'm definitely healthy and strong, not without issues. But post-accident, within the three-year mark, I ran the New York City Marathon again. A lot slower than my previous time, but I was able to finish it. After that, I did an Ironman.
Wow. And you talk about in your book what it's like, because obviously you had to fight through despair, fear, I'm sure, physical pain, probably psychological pain. Take us back to that. What do you tell people what that journey was like?
Well, you know, there's two sides of the recovery process. One is physical and the other is mental. Anyone growing up who's played sports or, you know, just has taken a bad fall, broken a bone or two, you know in 6 to 8 weeks your bone is going to heal. So the physical process, it did take time because I had multiple fractures. I had internal damage to my intestines. You know, if this was as bad as it gets, as most of my trauma surgeons would tell me. The mental aspect of the recovery was even longer because, you know, there's the period of why me? And then there's the period of, you know, what is my life going to be like? And I battled with depression and, you know, harboring that negative attitude over and over of what happened to me didn't allow me to recover physically, mentally, which is why I pushed myself to go back to marathon and to complete that Ironman one more time because I needed to recover mentally.
When you first took that step, how tough was that to take that step? But when you make the leap, then you start to do it and do it and do it, and that's all you're thinking about, the future?
100%. Once I realized that things weren't going to get better unless I accepted what happened to me. You know, a lot of people talk about overcoming adversity, and I needed not to overcome the adversity, but accept the adversity that was thrown my way, you know, accept this accident, accept what my new body is capable of doing, and then I went full steam ahead saying, okay, let's get it done.
Yeah, absolutely. And you tell people that, right? That's the idea. You're trying to certainly encourage people that no matter what's going on in your life, you can get through this. You can shake those walls down, right?
Absolutely. I'm lucky enough now, you know, it's been 10 years since the accident, and I'm lucky enough to travel the country giving some motivational, inspirational talks or just via email from people that have reached out to my foundation that with the right attitude, anything is possible. And you may not be the same person you were before, you know, your traumatic experience, but it's possible to be better. It's possible to be the best you can be. And that's what I like to tell people. It's like, you know, you have to have the right attitude. If you wake up in the morning and the first two words are, I can't, I tell people to go back to bed.
So it's just, you just, and that mindset, some people will say, Matt, well, Matt, geez, I admire you. Gosh, what you went through, that's incredible. But you must have had that deep inside you. I've heard people say things like that. And do you tell them you just keep doing it? You just keep repeating that mantra until it becomes what you wear every day?
Absolutely. That's the best way to go through life. If you have a goal or a dream, you go after it. And, you may or may not get there fully, but if you look back from where you started that dream, behind you is success. It's the levels of success. So you got to keep going forward. Keep your eye on the prize because it happens.
Tell us about your foundation. You mentioned the foundation. Tell us what the foundation does.
My foundation is simply called the I Will Foundation, and that was my mantra, I Will. And we help people who have suffered life-altering traumatic injuries or illnesses. Just get back into life, get back into feeling their competitive nature again, or just living their life as full as possible, no matter what their ailments are. So we've helped an Army captain coming home from the war who lost both his legs. I recently had an athlete in the Ironman in Hawaii who was electrocuted about 13 years ago and lost both his arms, and my foundation built him a bike, a special bike, brakes on the top tube. He breaks with his knee. It was just an incredible thing, and he competed in the Ironman.
Wow. And these are obviously rewarding things for you. What has been the most rewarding thing for you so far that you've been able to do because of the fact that you're out there, that you're telling people your story, that you're showing people the way that they can overcome whatever's happened to them?
The most rewarding thing for me or the most rewarding thing that I've done for someone else?
Yeah, the most rewarding thing for you and the most rewarding thing that you've done for someone else.
Well, I mean, post-accident, physically, the most rewarding thing for me was finishing the Ironman at Lake Placid, New York in 2009. But more incredibly, getting married and having my baby, Charlie, you know, it's something that the doctor said would never happen. So I have a baby girl. She's 3 years old, and it's just something I never thought would happen before my accident. I just didn't think I was the type of person to get married. But now, not only did I defy physical odds, I was able to have a baby, and I have a beautiful family. So that for me right now is just tops. But what I've been able to do or encourage other people to do, you know, it's when I go out and give a talk, it's funny. It's like, you know, it's like going to your kid's school and you're the teacher and the kids never raise their hand because there's no questions. They're embarrassed. Well, I go out and I speak to professionals. I speak to doctors. I speak to college students, and they're always shy when it comes to Q&A. But when I leave the room and I get that one-on-one moment with someone in the elevator that just heard me speak, and that's when they open up to me. So if I connect with one person in an audience, that's the biggest reward I can get with my story. As long as I know I'm helping one person at a time, that life is bad for a lot of people, and sometimes not fair. But if you stay tough, you stay positive, you'll push through it.
I love that.
Thank you, Kate.
Yeah, and we're speaking with Matt Long, and Matt, so that's so true. If you're going through something, and people are listening to us now, Christmas can be tough for people. They've lost people. Something else has happened to them. It's just getting through the tunnel and being, when you say also, because obviously you get this, it's being persistent and not giving up, being tenacious, right?
100%. I wouldn't have said it any differently. I like to tell people when dreaming and setting goals are the same exact thing, except when you set a goal, you have to commit, you have to plan, and you have to sacrifice. When we dream, we just think it's going to happen.
Right? That's true.
Yeah. And if you commit to that plan, now you're going to have to take detours once in a while, but if you commit to that plan, keep yourself on track, you will have success. No doubt.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. I love it. So I would assume, Matt, if anybody wants to get a copy of your book, you just go to Amazon.com, The Long Run.
Amazon.com, The Long Run, yes.
And what if somebody wants to help? What if somebody wants to help you with your foundation?
They can visit IWillFoundation.com. There's ways to support there. Shoot me an email at MattLongSpeaker.com. Both sites are kind of interlinked. They tell my story and stories of people we've helped. So either way, they shoot out with an email, it's a very small, low-key foundation. I get an email. If I have the funds, I help them. If I can generate the funds, I help them do that.
I love it. Matt Long, Merry Merry to you and yours. I love your story. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you, Kate. Merry Christmas.
Have you ever thought you'd like to flip houses but didn't know how or where to get the money? Are you ready to be your own boss so you can start living the good life? Hi, I'm Preston Ely. I used to be so broke. I had my electricity turned off 9 times, but I figured out a way to quit my job and find financial freedom in real estate. For a limited time, I want to send you a free copy of my smash hit selling book, How to Get Rich in Real Estate. It shows you how to copy exactly what I did so you can make money from the comfort of your own home without even doing any manual labor. I've already given away 5,000 books and they're going fast. To get one before they're gone, call 1-800-958-9859. Listen, if you're sick and tired of stressing about money, this book could change your life. It's short, fun to read, easy to understand, and awesome. To find out how to get your free book while supplies last, call 1-800-958-9859. Call 1-800-958-9859. 1-800-958-9859.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Think about this. Your community's aging water infrastructure systems are very likely to be contaminated with heavy metals like lead, disinfection chemicals like ammonia, chlorine, and chloramines, and pharmaceuticals like statins, pain meds, and antidepressants.
And no, water treatment plants are not equipped to filter these pharmaceutical toxins out.
Protect your family's water supply with the trusted Big Berkey water filter. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show Big Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria, and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market, the gold standard in water purification, and our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Injury Help Desk is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of the lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention, prescription antibiotic drug users. Have you or a loved one suffered an aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm after taking the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox? These popular antibiotic drugs have been prescribed more than 80 million times since 2004, and medical studies show an increased risk of the following injuries: aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, and abdominal aortic aneurysm. If you or a loved one used the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox and suffered from aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. You may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851.
How many times I have listened to Love Will Keep Us Together and a myriad of other songs by this next lady who is our special guest today. So thrilled she's in our virtual green room. We promised we would not play that song over and over again so she wouldn't have to hear her own work. But Toni Tenniel is with us, and she's written a memoir, and it is fascinating. I have to tell you, Toni, first of all, thanks for coming on the show.
Well, thanks for having me on, Kate. I really appreciate it.
And I have to tell you, I had a quick little getaway where I was at the Venetian pool in Las Vegas, and I was reading your book. I was absorbing it, and I put it down for a second to go off and rinse off, and someone took the book, so I had to buy another copy. So I'm responsible for two copies. Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm glad you got another copy. I don't know what to say about that.
Except for I think they wanted to read your book. I think that they saw it, and they were so excited. They thought, well, she's probably done with that. I'll swipe it. So, you got to love that. Absolutely.
Book.
Yeah, exactly. So let's talk about your beginnings in music. How did you know you had that talent? When did that all start for you as a kid?
Well, my father was a singer, and my mother had musical talent. I just popped out singing, and, you know, there are four Tenniel sisters. I'm the oldest of the four, and every one of us sing. They all have lovely voices. It just was part of our musical life back as far as I can remember.
So you start off, you have your sisters, and you got a lot of great pictures of your sisters and your family in the book, too, by the way, I'll tell everyone. But you start to do that. Did you just know that your career would explode the way it did?
No, never. As I grew up and started singing in Montgomery, Alabama, where I was born and raised, people would say, oh, you have such a great voice. That was kind of a big fish in a little pond. I had no illusions. I just sang because I loved it. And I remember one of the first songs I ever sang for people when I was in junior high school was a silly song called Abba Dabba Honeymoon, followed by Julie London's Cry Me a River. So you can imagine me singing that torch song at age 15. But people liked it, so, you know, what can I say? You know, I never thought I would have what would have happened that happened to me with Daryl, ever.
Yeah. So you meet Daryl Dragon, who's the captain, becomes your husband, all of that. Mm-hmm. Tell us about the beginnings of that relationship.
Well, Daryl and I met mainly because of a musical I had written with one of the directors at South Coast Repertory Theater in Southern California. It was an ecology-themed musical called Mother Earth. And it's a long story, but I'm just going to say it ended up as a professional production, and we opened it in San Francisco in 1971. And Daryl, we needed a new keyboard player because our regular keyboard player couldn't go to Los Angeles with the show. So Daryl flew up to audition for me, which is kind of funny. But I actually hired him to play keyboards for me. And then later on, he was a Beach Boy for a long time. And he and I started working together in clubs and then also as a Beach Boy piano player. That was me. I was a beach girl, but they let me in anyway.
I bet that was fun. You probably have a lot of stories from those days.
I have some wonderful stories, and it really was fun, and it was very, very eye-opening to me because, you know, I was this kind of sheltered girl from Alabama, and I had never even been to a rock concert, much less been on stage playing in one. And I learned many, many lessons from my time with the Beach Boys. One was the responsibilities of a headliner, the business of music, you know, how much it costs to do this, that, and the other just to carry a touring band around, and dealing with groupies. Well, I don't have groupies, but they sure did, but fans and things. And it was a real eye-opener and a very much an education for me when Daryl and I began to have our own success.
Then you start, you tour, you do all of that, and you elope. And you elope in a tiny mining town, Virginia City, Nevada, which I've actually been through there. If you blink, you're done. You're out of there. Did that surprise a lot of people? Did it surprise your family or no?
Well, you know, Daryl and I had been living together since 1972, and we were not married when we had our first hit. And I know it disturbed my mother, my Southern conservative mother, who would say to me all the time, Tony, when are you and Daryl going to get married? You just shouldn't be living together without being married. Well, I wanted to, but Daryl had really, he was very hard to read. He had not made any indications of loving me, you know. We had a relationship, but you read the book, so you know what it was like. So I think A&M, when Lovell Keeps Together hit the charts, our record company was very concerned that people would find out that we weren't married, although people thought we were. So they put out a press release saying that we were married on Valentine's Day, which was not. We weren't married, and we would never have chosen that day anyway. But we started getting letters from fans who would say, oh, you were married on Valentine's Day. That's so cute. And that's how we found out about it. So then, to top it off, this is so romantic, you're not going to believe this. Our accountant said, you know, Tony, if you and Daryl were married, he said that to both of us, you could pay a lot less taxes. So we flew up to Northern Nevada, drove to Little Virginia City, and got married kind of under the radar in the Silver Queen Saloon Wedding Chapel up there.
Wow. Unbelievable.
So that was our romantic wedding.
And you were together for a very long time, and people were shocked when you broke up, and you're very forthright about it. In the book, you talk about it, but people didn't really know what was going on in that relationship, right?
No, they didn't. And, you know, I have to say that I can never blame Daryl for any of this because he just is who he is. And he was raised in a very, very complicated and difficult family. His father was very much the dictatorial famous person. He was an Academy Award-winning film scorer. He was a symphony conductor. He recorded 25 albums for Capitol Records, and he was the epitome of the maestro. Handsome, lots of charisma, and he had lots and lots of fans, but he was very hard on his kids. They had three boys and two girls, and he was especially hard on the boys. He was very critical of them. There was some abuse going on, which I don't want to go into because there's still family members alive who think that Carmen hung the moon. But, and also Daryl's mother had a breakdown when she was in her 30s and suffered from clinical depression the rest of her long life. So he never learned love. He never was nurtured by anybody in his family. Never had that experience at all. And he kind of grew into himself. And, of course, I had the complete opposite upbringing with lots of love, lots of support, and, you know, lots of good relationship. So I thought, okay, I can fix this guy. You know, I can go into this relationship and I can show him, teach him how to love, how to let some joy into his life. And I kept thinking, what, how wonderful it would be for him and for me, of course, if I could do this. So that's how I started the relationship. And I'm stubborn. I'm a Taurus. I'll stick with something for a long time. And I worked on it for years and years and years and years and years before I finally realized it was never going to happen. I broke the cardinal rule. The rule is, you will never change a man. He's going to be what he's going to be, and you can't change him.
Boy, that is so true. I hope a lot of people are listening to that, because I know there are a lot of women that try to do the same thing.
Well, and I thought I could. I mean, I really, truly thought I could, and I just couldn't.
Yeah. The song that I mentioned at the top, of course, Love Will Keep Us Together. How many, I mean, you'd probably be a billionaire every time somebody comes up to you and sings like a little ditty from that. Does that happen to you still? I bet it does.
Oh, yeah, it does. It does. And it always puts me in a very happy place when I hear that happen. I remember on one of the airlines many years ago, I guess it was during the 80s when I was singing with symphonies and big bands, and one of the flight attendants came up to me and she said, "Miss Tennille, would you come back to the galley? We want to show you something." And I thought, well, okay. So I went back there, and it was one of those large jumbo-type jets, and there were like four or five flight attendants. And they lined up in a row, and they started singing Love Will Keep Us Together, complete with choreography, which I just thought was wonderful. I mean, you know, you got to love stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely, of course. Of all the places that you got to go and people that you got to meet, I mean, I know this is a tough question. What's your favorite moment? Do you have one?
Oh, my gosh, there were so many. My favorite musical moment, I might say, was singing a duet of Torch songs with the great Ella Fitzgerald.
Oh.
That was, to me, and you can find it on YouTube. It's there. You just put in Tony Tennille, Ella Fitzgerald, and it'll come up. She was a guest on our special we called the Songbook Special in 1980, and I invited her to be my special guest, and I just was overjoyed when she accepted. And what I found out about her, Kate, as we worked together, was what a humble, lovely woman she is, or was. She's gone now, I'm sad to say. I remember when we did it was a 10-minute Torch song medley that we did together, and it was complicated. We did our first rehearsal together, and, you know, I was just going, oh, this is a dream, this is a dream. And when we finished the rehearsal, she said to me, "Now, was that all right?" She's asking me if that was all right. I went, oh, my God, are you kidding? And, of course, when we did it, it was just, to me, absolute perfection. And it was like I was standing outside myself watching me sing with Ella Fitzgerald and remembering when I was a little kid singing into my hairbrush and pretending I was her. You know,
that story.
So that has got to be, to me, the greatest joy of my musical life.
Absolutely. Tony Tennille, what a pleasure to have you on the show. Pick up her book. You can get it at Amazon.com and wherever books are sold. What a pleasure to have you, as I said, on the show. We could talk to you for hours. Thanks so much.
And also, I want to mention, Kate, that I did narrate the audiobook, and it's out there on Audible Audio. If you want to listen to me tell it to you, you can go there.
I love it. Thanks, Tony.
Thanks, Kate.
I've been saving myself for you, just you, no one but you. I've staked my heart in your name.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At ContractorExam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, ContractorExam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.ContractorExam.com today.
He's in our virtual green room or something like that anyway. His name is Ace Salisbury. He's creator and director of Everything's Okay, a 28-year-old cool dude from Brooklyn, Brooklyn filmmaker. And wait till you hear what he's done. It's awesome to chase your passion. That's why I thought it'd be fun to have him on. Ace, thanks for hanging with us.
Hey, nice to meet you. How are you doing?
Awesome. So tell us about Everything's Okay. Am I right? It's a live-action animated hybrid. I saw it, but I don't know how to describe it. Kind of a do-it-yourself deal. Am I right?
Yeah. Okay. So what we have is it's a world about New York City 10 years after fracking has caused the apocalypse. But the way that we could figure out how to actually create the world with our budget, just being who we were, we have this amazing art director, somebody I went to, a longtime friend, he was my roommate back at boarding school in high school. He created these miniature, very detailed cardboard sets made out of cardboard and garbage with creating things that we couldn't possibly film, like New York City with the East River drained, and now it's a gulch, and more people are living at the bottom of it. And just everything about the environment, you can see the kind of handmade ridges of it and the materials that it's made out of. But we've painstakingly composited it over a year after we shot it. And so even though you're kind of confronted with the fact that it's clearly artifice, you still, your brain kind of doesn't fully let you not believe it. So what we have is something completely different. We're really excited about it.
Yeah, how did this idea pop into your head?
So I was taking a shower 2 years ago, and I was just thinking, what would happen if I didn't have access to this water? What would happen if everything that my whole feeling of comfort in my own home was negated by the fact that I couldn't drink the water? And then all of a sudden, I started thinking about, I live in Brooklyn, started thinking about all of New York City, what that would look like if there wasn't any physical presence of water whatsoever. All of a sudden, Manhattan was surrounded by these sweeping, barren canyons, and all of a sudden, this whole surreal topography took over in my mind, and I started thinking about, well, if maybe there are other things wrong with the world. Maybe it's too hot. Maybe people need to live underground. Maybe most of the people are gone. What if, you know? And so all of these things about this world started coming into my mind, and you know, it was that coupled with a fear of the whole idea of that we might be jeopardizing our own water supplies with the way that we've handled fracking and all that, all sort of took over into this world that I started weaving into these scripts and started finding my friends who wanted to help me with it and building my team. And, yeah, I got to correct you. I'm not 28 anymore. I was 28 when I started the project. I'm 30 now. So we've spent about 2 years on it. From Kickstarter to post-production, it's taken about 2 years. So
that's funny. Kickstarter. So let's go back. You have this idea. It's great the way you described it, how it came into your head. You saw a vision. You got your buddies to help you. And 2 years to put the project together. As you started to assemble it, what did you do to save money? So you saved a little bit of money up, but what did you do? I'm imagining, of course, green screen, right? You know, Adobe well, that kind of stuff.
Where we saved the most money was in post-production. I came into directing by way of editing and also animation. I've done a lot of motion graphics animation, specifically in a program called After Effects. And so the idea of that program, it's kind of like an editor, except that it's designed to extract layers from all your footage. So we basically, it's a very expensive program to work in, but the fact that I could do weeks and weeks and weeks of work in that at no cost to us was probably the reason we were actually able to get it made for our budget. We ended up raising $23,000 on Kickstarter, and that went exclusively to the production, paying actors and everybody on set. You know, I didn't want to be one of those guys who asked everybody to work for free. So even though, you know, people weren't getting exactly what they were worth, I was able to pay everybody something. And we actually used union actors. We did the SAG-AFTRA contracts for everybody. The new media contract is a really flexible one. If you ever want to make a project with better actors than you get otherwise, at least more experience. First time I've ever worked with that. It was amazing. Really wonderful people to work with. But another cost-saving thing for us is we shot most of it in my apartment. All but 2 days of filming happened in my living room, which is not huge. We have like a 9-foot by 20-foot green screen, and so the 20 feet is like 10 feet of it go up towards the ceiling, and the other 10 feet are rolled onto the floor. And what you get with that is if you light that right and shoot that properly, you can actually completely create a whole different world around the actors that way. And so we just kind of digitally shrunk them down and put them on these miniature cardboard sets. So I'd say between the materials and the SAG after a new media contract and the location, and plus a free post production, that's how we got something made that you've never seen a web series that looks like this before, because it's way too expensive for anybody else to make it usually.
Love it. So tell me the reaction to now this project. It's exploded, hasn't it?
got back from the Cannes Film Festival in France, and we were at premieres, our first episode, and we filled our room up and had just an incredibly enthusiastic reaction. People were so excited to see something like this. Everybody wants to know how it's made, and to me that's just a really great reaction, that it's not obvious that we just shot a bunch of garbage and put people on a green screen together, that there is a little something extra thrown in, that, you know, the details I put into the atmosphere really take people to this world that we've created. And I'm hoping this is just the beginning. We really want as many eyes to see this as possible, and that's why we're about 90% sure we're just going to release this ourselves pretty soon, and just want to build our audience ourselves rather than selling it to a company. We just don't want to. This is a message that needs to get out there quickly, and we want to do that. We want to do that ourselves, and we're really excited.
So to do that yourself and to release it, would you use, and obviously Kickstarter worked for you, and you just described what that process was like. So now we know that social media has a lot of legs. Will you try to pump it out that way?
Exactly. And we're going to build our team on Twitter and Facebook. We already have an okay following for not having released any content yet. Basically, we have to make friends and make sure every friend shows their friends this show. And the idea is that if we can make something that's exactly what a certain group of people want to see, you know, I made something that's so weird and different, but is exactly what I wish was out there. And I'm hoping that there are other people that feel the same way. So we'll grassroots grow our audience, and it's something I've never had to do before, and I'm really excited to see that happen.
I love it. We'll pump it out everywhere we can for you. Once you really start that project, we will do it. I'll hit everyone I know and everybody I can, from my millennial crew to even older than that, as you say, a lot of people, because I watched it. It was phenomenal, and to have more eyeballs on it would be terrific. What do you ultimately have as the goal for this, that happens, that more people become aware of the whole fracking thing, et cetera?
Exactly, and also for it to be a platform for everybody who we've worked with to sort of show the industry at a higher level than they could before what they can do. You know, to be able to tell important stories, but also really dazzle people. And I've kind of been watching the web series phenomenon take over, and it's fun to see people that wouldn't otherwise have a voice take one on, but there's something limiting about a bunch of 20-somethings making films about their romance in Brooklyn with a DSLR camera with shallow depth of field. They all kind of look the same, and I'm excited to put a different palette out there into the web series format.
I love it. Obviously you're focused on this, but do you have something else in the back of your mind that you want to work on, too, in the future?
I have a few shows in mind. I mean, I'm always thinking of things. I don't want to tell you too much, but I've got an idea for a show called Time Dad, a time-traveling schlub who's left his family in order to find meaning in his life through the time continuum, and he's ultimately finding that nothing can replace what he's left behind.
Wow, I love it. I can only imagine. Oh, what an interesting guy you are. Ace Salisbury, we'll do everything we can, like we said, to help you get this project heard. Thanks so much for joining us on America Tonight.
Thank you so much.
Swallow, but your minerals don't have to be one of them. CRSupplements.com liquid minerals make that easy. The same size that a plant hair root absorbs, CRSupplements.com liquid minerals are easy for your body to use, and they are easy for you to add to daily liquid intake. Made in the USA and kosher certified, we offer 21 different minerals that may be lost in food processing or don't exist in foods grown on depleted soils. Choose easy. Get easy to swallow liquid minerals from CRSupplements.com.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.